This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 4th of May, 2021. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous waffly Jill Serkin, who had to waffle her way through most of the first half of the show.
Yeah,
now to our problems.
I'm just eating biscuits for the rest of the show.
Absolutely. She's found a biscuit barrel. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East, independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services, supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operators' services. To find out more about their services, go to www.dgeast.co.uk. And a huge thank you to them for supporting the Business Bunker Show.
I've just found a new people that are following me. It's the CT5 People's Forum.
Right.
So hello to you.
They're your postcode?
Yeah, they're a public forum for those who live or work in Whitstable. And it's to encourage local democracy, currently on Zoom, they say. And you can email them if you want to get involved, if you're in the Whitstable area.
Oh, that's right up your street, isn't it? It's another place you can moan.
I can rant.
You can have a rant and a moan. You go, look at them all parking on Tankerton Slopes.
Engine idling.
Yeah, look, they haven't emptied the bins.
I know. Someone's drowning.
Yeah. Again.
The email is ct5peoples, with an S at the end, @gmail.com.
Fantastic.
Very good. I mean, they're doing things like rubbish and, you know, they're lobbying the council.
Oh, it's right up your street, isn't it?
I could rant. I'll be the Ina Sharples of Whitstable.
Absolutely, yeah.
And hello to Age UK also. They are in Herne Bay, this particular tweet, and they're at Age Bay, and they are obviously an independent charity with its own constitution and funding administered by locally appointed trustees. Well done, guys.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, I think it's probably time that we went straight and listened to our next guest. What do you think?
I think so, because then I can have another chocolate biscuit.
Absolutely, you can.
While
and you can have a well-earned rest. We're going to hear from Joshua Fletcher. Josh is known as Anxiety Josh. And he's an anxiety specialist, a psychotherapist, and he's also a best-selling author. And as it happens, he's one of those things called an Instagram influencer as well. So let's hear what he had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker radio show, Mr. Josh Fletcher. Josh, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's an absolute pleasure to see you. Why don't you kick off, Josh, by giving the listeners a bit of background about you and what you do and how you do it, yeah?
Yeah, so my name's Joshua Fletcher. I'm a psychotherapist and author who specialises in the subject of anxiety and anxiety-related conditions. I was once diagnosed with anxiety myself in 2012. With agoraphobia and panic disorder, which is when I used to have lots of panic attacks, couldn't leave the house. But I used to Google all my symptoms, constantly ring the doctor for reassurance, had health anxiety, and OCD as well, obsessive compulsive disorder. If I were playing anxiety disorder bingo, I'd have won. I looked into it, and a long story short, overcame it using psychoeducation, and I took that psychoeducation and thought, well, other people kind of need to know about this, because I didn't know how to recover, really. I didn't feel that the information was there, and so I wrote a first book before I even became a psychotherapist.
It was that way around. Due to your own personal experiences, that inspired you to gain qualifications in psychotherapy and to write a book.
Absolutely. And I went and did my own thing. I actually did my own small business, which is I started initially doing some coaching, and then I realised that I was onto something here. People were like, wow, this is, I can't believe I'm learning about all this about anxiety. And then so I went and did my master's in counselling psychology and became a member of an accrediting body. And now I still do that today. I work with people with anxiety and anxiety disorders.
Okay. Can I ask you, I mean, there's, you know, you very eloquently explained the things that had happened to you and some of the issues that you've dealt with personally. Anxiety is quite a big word, really, and it covers a whole range of things. And I think different people will have a different view on what anxiety is. Can you give us your definition of anxiety?
Absolutely, great question. I actually split it into two.
Right.
So you've got conventional anxiety, which is outwards anxiety, and that is I'm worried about things external. I'm worried about the future, my career, my relationship. Yeah. I'm worried just about things that about my family, things like that that are external from you. That's conventional anxiety.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't really talk about, and it's not covered very much, and yet millions and millions and millions of people suffer with it, is inwards disordered anxiety. Mm. And that's when we experience panic attacks, yeah, intrusive, weird thoughts, a sense that we feel like we're on edge.
Yeah.
I feel a sense of doom constantly, and we can be stuck with that for sometimes years if left alone, if not treated in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's two types of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, both feel the same. The biology behind them is the same, but the content is actually is what can make it sticky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is just me saying this, and I'm interested in your view, but the human mind is an incredibly complex thing. And sometimes, I don't know how you resonate with this, but sometimes I feel incredibly anxious about something. I feel very stressed. I feel under enormous pressure, and I'm not even sure what it is. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. It's my bread and butter. You've got to realize that we have a mammal brain built on top of a lizard brain. So you're right, it is complex. Mm. The mammal brain is the thinking part of our brain, the emotional part of our brain, the kind of what makes us human. But actually, at the core of our brain is the lizard part of our brain, which is where anxiety and the threat response lies.
Right.
And that's the fastest, but also the stupidest part of our brain, because it's a bit like, I don't know, you know, I won't defame it. I was going to make an insult about Newcastle United, but I won't. I support Newcastle United.
Right.
And basically, when we get stressed and stressed and stressed and stressed and stressed, that old lizard part of our brain, the fight or flight response, doesn't understand subjective stresses. It doesn't understand pandemics. It doesn't understand your tax return. It doesn't understand you arguing with your partner. It doesn't understand why your football team isn't winning. It doesn't understand why things perhaps aren't going well in your business. And when that builds up and builds up and builds up, that lizard brain kicks in and kicks in fight or flight. So if you're sat at home, Paul, going, why do I feel so anxious for no reason? Well, actually, you know, I call it the stress analogy or the stress jug. What's been filling up that stress jug? And then your lizard brain goes, hey, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it's almost like it feels like you're in danger. Are you okay?
Yeah.
And then it adds all that cortisol and all that adrenaline. And that's why you sat there shaking at home, trying to relax. And that's that. Even that people don't know, and I'm saying that's okay.
Yeah, it's incredible what you're saying and how you describe it, because I resonate with that completely. I'm a great one. This isn't good. I'm a great one for grinding my teeth and cramping my jaws and stuff like that, and that just gives me back pain and neck pain, and you don't even realise you're doing it. You know, so absolutely, I get what you're saying. Josh, have you got any feel for just how widespread these kind of issues are in our society at the moment, in the UK especially?
I mean, it was one in four, one in five before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I know, just and working with my psychotherapy colleagues and counselling colleagues, their numbers have just skyrocketed. So if you're thinking, and bear in mind, one in four, one in five, and that's people actually come forward and actually seek help for it. I would add a guess, this is not scientifically backed up. If I were to guess, I'd say it's even one in three. And I've worked with this for years now, and it's why I do so well. It's why my social media is so big, is because people get it. They're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, Riley, it's really common. I didn't realise.
Yeah. Funny, I can reinforce that. I'm a trustee of a residential charity for people with drink and drug addictions. And, of course, a lot of drink and drug addictions are self-medication. People get involved in that to kind of you know, get rid of their demons, get rid of their anxiety by, you know, just going into a drink or drug oblivion. So, and during the last year, the charity's been around 50 years, been the last year we've had the most massive influx of clients ever, which is really scary, really scary. Okay, what I'd like to move on to is a couple of things, and these may be similar threads. Many years ago, I lived and worked in the US, and in the US, there's a big thing. Everyone's got a personal analyst. Everybody has a talker that they can talk to. But in the UK, we're a lot more stiff upper lip about stuff like that. What's your views on people seeking help? You know, do they do it enough? Do they do it early enough? Or do they not do it at all?
It's getting better, but we're still a long way to go. Particularly in this country, we emotional conservatism is revered, isn't it? You know, yeah. It's even ingrained in our culture. Keep calm, carry on. It's like, well, no, not really. No, I mean, that was applicable many years ago, getting through world wars and things. Yeah, you've got to hunker down. You've got to get through it. Yeah. There's no time to do that. And I understand, but we still revere that mentality today at the expense of people's well-being. The biggest killer in this country for men is suicide. People don't really take a second to realize that there's there isn't disease, like disease, that's killing people. It's the fact that mental health, okay, it can be a disease, but like it's stuff where people are just choosing to end their own life, and things like that don't help. I'm trying to model that. I've been depressed, anxious. I've even, you know, I've had a cannabis addiction. I've had other drug addictions, and I've had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And I still model that very openly and transparently. And also, I like to challenge, particularly for men. It affects men and women, by the way. Like, people don't want to show that vulnerability, but particularly for men, I try to challenge that. It's really, I'd like to say I'm quite a conventional male too. You know, I grew up in Lancashire in a working class mining town. Yeah. You know, or it's very kind of, you know, don't show your emotions.
Yeah. And you're a Geordie supporter, so you stand at St James's Park without a shirt on in the middle of winter and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they don't worry. You got 5,000 Geordies all showing tears and crying.
Okay. Let's move on and talk about the book that you've written. Give us an overview of the book. What inspired you to write it? What's the book about?
So I was previously, this is going to sound really self-congratulatory, because it is, that I was previously a best-selling author of two self-help books, and I wanted to write another one, and my latest one's called Untangle Your Anxiety. But what's really nice about this one is that I co-wrote it with someone who I met on social media. Now, social media gets a bit of a bad rap nowadays, and I met this person through Instagram, and it's someone who I found out who grew up near me. He had a very similar upbringing to me, and he was also diagnosed with an anxiety disorder like me. And so we got talking and sharing our experiences, and I was like, do you know what? Do you want to co-write a book with me? You know, let's talk about our own experiences. And that was the birth of Untangle Your Anxiety. So it combines both our personal experiences of how we overcame anxiety, but also my insights as a qualified psychotherapist. So it balances the two, and there's a lot of narrative between us two chatting about that. Again, two guys talking about it, but it's not necessarily applicable to just men. It applies to everyone, and it's done really well. It's a UK bestseller and now a US bestseller, which is amazing. Okay. Because it's doing all right.
Yeah. Oh, it's great stuff. Okay. In your work as a psychotherapist, how do you deploy that? Are you primarily one-to-one, or do you do group sessions, or is it a mixture of both? How do you go about that?
I must do one-to-one at the moment. I do it from this very room that you're talking to me over the camera. I do it remotely. I can't wait to go back to do things personally. No, I do mostly one-to-one, but I also do a lot of talks, and a lot of my message I actually just share openly. In fact, almost all my message I share openly on all my platforms. And even, you know, I don't put paywalls to access to psychoeducation, but some people, they need a little bit of an extra foot up. So that's where I work people one-to-one.
Okay, cool. So you're doing this one-to-one work, you talk about it, you've written books about it. How do you see things moving forward? You know, as you've quite rightly identified, and I have too, you know, the pandemic, the lockdown, everything that's happened over the last 18 months has added another lump onto what was already quite a big subject, and it's odd, isn't it? And I guess, and again, this is my opinion, and I'm asking your view on it. I think, you know, people in the West, we have more labour-saving devices than anyone's ever had. You know, even the poorest of us still get food in some way. You know, there are vast areas of the world where people still live in abject poverty, and in the West we're very lucky, but we seem to have more anxiety, more stress in the West than anywhere else. And my view on that is that the very technology that has created our lifestyle is also one of the main protagonists behind our stress levels. Have you any views on that?
I always talk about the relationship with technology. I was talking about social media before. Like, social media gets a bad rap, but it depends on what's on your social media feed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure people who follow your Twitter profile find it really useful, really helpful. You know, that's all right. But then again, some other people might follow social media feeds where it's actually not really good for them. They compare themselves, or there's negative body images or negative views.
Yeah.
You're right. It absolutely depends. I think technology, your relationship with technology it needs to be looked at subjectively. Like, for me, if it wasn't for certain streaming services, this pandemic would have been even harder. But the fact is, I could sit there and watch on my nice TV some shows to pass the time whilst we're in lockdown. So, but at the same time, you've got this thing where actually I believe there could be stimulus overload.
Yeah.
And also, I think particularly for younger generations,
you're
going to struggle. I think social interaction's going to have struggled. I think everything's done through a lens, and I think we'll see the effects of that as years go by.
Yeah. I mean, funny enough for me, my background is in IT, and being so old, I've worked in IT for 50 years, and but IT drives me bonkers. It drives me absolutely bonkers. I just can't deal with it anymore, you know, because it's just nowadays, especially trying to deal with big corporations, there's so many things that are automated. And if the slightest thing goes wrong, the whole thing falls apart, and it just drives me nuts. And I get very upset about it all. Okay, if I may, Josh, we're kind of fast approaching the end of the interview. But I'd just like to ask your advice, really, for those listeners out there in their small businesses, sitting there worried about where their business is going, worried about the effects it's going to have on their family. Do you have any recommendations for one, spotting when your anxiety is starting to get to dangerous levels, if I can use that expression? And two, more importantly, what are some of the things we can do to minimize the level of anxiety and stress that we face?
Absolutely. The word that comes to mind, and as someone who's self-employed, me, it's boundaries. The climate is uncertain, and everyone's feeling that at the moment. And it's okay to feel that uncertainty. It's okay to commit some worries to help problem solve and tackle that uncertainty. But boundaries are important, because if you're still doing that at 9, 10 o'clock at night, if you're waking up in the middle of the night because you can't turn your brain off, if you're affected, you know, anxiety's become a problem when worry itself has become the center part of your day. And actually, maybe it might have even gone into disordered anxiety territory. Maybe you're then worried about worry itself. Maybe you're having kind of strange anxious symptoms. Maybe you're experiencing strange symptoms like derealization, a fast heartbeat, not feeling like you're quite here, feeling the sense of dread and doom constantly. Maybe you've dictated by what your days are dictated by what ifs, and what if that. That's when you know that you need to take some time out for you. People need to remember you've got two nervous systems. You've got your sympathetic nervous system, which is that stress, that fifth gear, that's to the grind, which I'm sure you're aware of, but you've also got the other nervous system, which is the parasympathetic, and that's the rest and digest. And if we neglect that, the sympathetic, the grind one, that starts to dictate your day, and it can make us feel physically unwell, mentally unwell, and it can be easily remedied with boundaries. Also, read up on it. You know, I'm not just plugging my book. Go to the NHS website. There's loads of cool psychoeducation books, mind health charities, stuff like that, to read up on anxiety, or even just free resources and stuff like that. I have a podcast out on anxiety. You know, it's no monetary gain whatsoever. Just educating people about it. That's called the Panic Pod. If you want to check that out.
Before we go, we'll get some links from you for how people can find out more about all your work, your books, and more about your work. Are you familiar with the concept of mindfulness and that kind of training? Do you find that a useful tool in trying to manage things?
Do you remember when I said that there's two forms of anxiety, conventional anxiety and disordered anxiety?
Yeah.
I find mindfulness outstanding for conventional anxiety. But for some people that fear the symptoms of anxiety or fear itself, mindfulness initially isn't actually that helpful. It is eventually. But once you overcome the fear of fear, like a lot of people are experiencing at the moment, I recommend mindfulness later rather than a panacea for all recovery. But chat that through with a therapist or someone professional. But I do, if it's conventional worries, particularly worries about your business, mindfulness is wonderful, I found.
Fantastic. Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. A fascinating subject, something that is going to be more and more prevalent as things go on, as the way they are. If people want to find out more about your work, your books and all the rest of it, what's the best way to do that? Do you have websites and stuff?
On social media, I'm called Anxiety Josh. I think on Twitter it starts with an underscore because someone else has got that name. Damn them. But Anxiety Josh on social media, most prevalent on Instagram. But you can find my all my information at thepanicroom.co.uk. That's my therapy practice, but it's got links to free resources and stuff. You can find out more there.
Brilliant.
And the Panic Pod, which is the podcast I mentioned before.
Okay. We'll put all those links on the radio website so that people can check those out. For the moment, Josh, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued success with the very important work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for having me on. It's been really great.
Pleasure.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was a fantastic Joshua Fletcher, known as Anxiety Josh, on social media. I had a few tweets from Zeenat Narani from the Mindset Matters show, actually, and she's saying that's a fantastic interview with Joshua, right up my street, whoop, whoop. And she goes on to say, I completely agree, we still have a long way to go. Yes, we're talking about it more, but people are still not taking action. Josh raises such valid and important points. Absolutely. It's something that's... that's been prevalent for a long, long time, anxiety and stress. I think the last 18 months has kind of raised that to unprecedented levels of how stressful everybody
is. I think
is.
People, even babies and young children, you know, but of course people that are worried about paying their mortgage and losing their jobs and not having the social. I think with us, you know, certainly with me, things that you want to do on the spur of the moment and you suddenly realise that you can't, you know, and you find yourself saying, let's do, oh, we can't do that, you know. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's all the milestones that we have and let's be honest, things that keep us going, going out, seeing mates, having a little noggin somewhere in a pub. The weather isn't great and it's difficult for people. And also, you know, people in care homes really haven't had visitors and the support that they've needed.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's you can't keep doing this no matter what. What we've shown is locking people away does not work.
No.
It just doesn't work. Anyway, it was good to hear from Joshua Fletcher, I do beg your pardon, known as Anxiety Josh on Instagram, _ Anxiety Josh on Twitter, and thepanicroom.co.uk is his website, and you can find out about him and all of his books and all of the work that he does. So a huge thank you to Josh for joining us on the show. We've got some other stuff to catch up on. I've got some emails to read. Have you got any emails left?
I do have. So there's a workplace charging scheme, which in brackets they've written WCS in capitals. It's a voucher-based scheme which is designed to provide eligible applicants with support towards the upfront cost of the purchase and installation of EV charging points. So that's for your electric vehicles, I think.
Right, okay.
And the contribution is limited to the 75% of purchase and installation costs, up to a maximum of £350 for each socket. And up to a maximum of 40 across all sites for each applicant. This is really interesting. So applicants can apply for the scheme using the online application portal. So you can go to www.gov.uk/government-publications/workplace-charging-scheme-application-form. I have no idea how much a socket costs to charge an electric car, but if they're giving you up to a maximum of 300 for each socket, they must be quite expensive.
When I was thinking about getting an electric car...
You were going to get a Tesla.
I was going to get an electric car, and I looked into the whole thing, and I'm really pleased I didn't get an electric car. Not and there's anything particularly wrong about Teslas. I didn't get an electric car of any kind for all kinds of reasons. But then the chargers, the fast chargers, which is what you want, are about £400.
Okay.
For the charger and the installation.
So they're giving you up to 350 for each socket. And I mean, it's great for businesses that want to encourage their workers to go electric. What made you decide not to? Was it the cost?
It was the hassle. And funnily enough, we were talking about this over the weekend. Martin White's got an electric van at the moment. Brian Hall, who's very into this kind of thing, he had a similar problem. One of the problems with electric cars is that they have a tendency to run out of electricity when you're going places. And half the charging points don't suit most of the cars.
Oh, really? Well, that's bad.
So the van that Martin's got, he can't charge in most of the places that you can charge it because it's the wrong connection and the wrong type.
You'd have thought that they'd have a sort of a unified...
But the problem is that there's different power of charging and therefore you get a different plug for it and all kinds of nuts. So it's all that kind of stuff. Added
so you need adapters in your boot.
Well, it's not even that simple. You know, a lot of them. And also, I've heard loads of horror stories about the charging point. You know, in most electric cars, they tell you where the next charging point is. Mm. You drive there and it doesn't work.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. It's just not convenient. Yeah. Electric
Until
cars
they get it together,
are just not convenient. And they're not very eco-friendly either because
the batteries.
You know, you've got all this cobalt mining and lithium mining to make the batteries. And the batteries don't last very long. No. How do you dispose of the battery when it doesn't last? And then you've got all the bursting into flames nonsense and everything else. It's not a viable thing.
I was quite looking forward to the driverless one because I thought I could loll in the back and go to pubs and drink what I want.
Look at that one. The one in California crashed and killed the guy in the car. although the software said he was actually driving.
But didn't he put it on? He didn't put it onto autopilot or something.
Well, they're claiming somebody claimed it was on autopilot and it crashed and killed him. They looked at the software and found he hadn't put it on autopilot.
Yeah,
which is why it crashed.
So he thought he'd put it.
He thought he had, but he hadn't. Yeah.
Well, it's probably going to take a few years to get that going, and don't let me get started on Boris making us rip out our boilers.
Because, it's ridiculous.
You know, we're looking at what, 18 grand before you sell a house to do that sort of thing.
The problem with the whole eco non-renewable renewables thing is that none of it works. And none of it's very eco-friendly either. It's all virtue signaling, and wind power doesn't work when the wind doesn't blow. Solar power, you know, is okay, but in a limited fashion. Electric vehicles kind of work if you don't go anywhere. You know, so at the moment nothing's a game changer.
And some of those recharging stations, they take ages to recharge.
Exactly,
like you said,
know.
There's a quick one, but some of them are hours, aren't they?
Yeah, even the quick ones are like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
and you might not want to wait 20 minutes.
No,
in
exactly.
Freezing area.
At the moment, there's, as far as I'm concerned, there's no game changer happening. Until a game changer happens and everyone goes, do you know what, now it's viable, it ain't going to happen. It isn't. Right, take part and make Maidstone Borough bloom. For the first time ever, Maidstone Borough Council is launching a Maidstone Borough in Bloom competition, and it's inviting anyone who enjoys creating beautiful gardens or pots to enter. They're working in conjunction with the Coolings Garden Centre in Bearstead, and a competition has opened and is open for entries until Monday the 5th of July. Judging will take place during the last 2 weeks of July, and the awards ceremony will be held in September. There are three categories: residential, commercial and community, and any household entering you'll get a £5 voucher to spend at Coolings. A trophy will be awarded to the winner and runner-up in each category, and all winners in each category will receive a prize of a £25 Cooling gift voucher, as well as two adult annual season tickets to Leeds Castle. So
that's
not bad.
Worth going into.
The residential categories are best front garden, best back garden, best planted pot, trough or hanging basket, best vegetable garden or allotment, and best pollinators garden. The commercial categories are best commercial garden, best commercial planted plot, trough or hanging basket. And the community categories are best community environmental garden and the best community ornamental garden. To enter, please complete a Coolings Garden Centre entry form through the Maidstone Borough Council website at www.maidstone.gov.uk/Maidstone Borough in Bloom. That's maidstone.gov.uk/Maidstone Borough.
Well, that's worth going for. And also Leeds Castle is beautiful. I've only got a very small garden. It's the smallest we've ever had, but I've left a bit of long grass and seeing, you know, dandelions and things to see if it pollinates little bees and things, encourages them.
Cool. Do you know what?
What?
I think it's time for the FSB news.
I do, yeah.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Cool. Public relations professionals at the FSB say nobody likes negative publicity, but how can you protect your business against it, and what can you do if it happens? The FSB PR Crisis Management is here to support you through a crisis, from protocols and press releases to communicating with your business and the outside world. We're here every step of the way with expert advice and insurance of up to £10,000 in the event of a major PR crisis. You can find out more by going to www.fsb.org.uk/join-us/PR-crisis-management. fsb.org.uk/join-us/PR-crisis-management.
And there's a charity golf day, which is Friday the 2nd of July. So this is a diary date for you, Bunker listener. Swing into action and join them for 18 holes of fundraising. It's all in aid of the Strode Park Foundation, and they've booked the fabulous Cave Hotel and Golf Resort in Bolton, and you can make up a team of four for just £60 a head. And the members pay, if you're a member there at the Bolton Golf Club, you pay just £34.50. You can let us know, that they say, your team name if you've already made up your foursome, but if you're an individual, let us know and we can match you up with a team. Your entry fee includes tea, coffee, bacon rolls on arrival, 18 holes of golf, two course dinner and prize presentation. And it starts, kicks off, or golfs off, or swings off, whatever they do, at 10:30
tees off.
Tees off, thank you. And it is registration with teas, coffee and bacon roll. And then they actually tee off for real at 11:15. And there's scores and prize presentations. There is a phone number, so you can call the club direct, and it's 01227, that's the Canterbury Whitstable code, 752277. And tickets are non-refundable, they say, unless the event is cancelled. So it's between £34 to £60. You can go to www.strodepark.org.uk/shop. And of course, all details are on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I'm going to carry on with the FSB news now.
Oh, yeah. Did I butt it?
Yeah, you did. But it was fine.
You know
it was
what?
Fine.
It's because I've been eating biscuits.
Yeah, yeah. You're all hyped up now, haven't you? You're on a sugar rush.
Yeah, yeah.
XSE 2021. The FSB is sponsoring XSE. That's EXSE 2021. And it stands by for East by Southeast. XSE 2021 is a three-day virtual festival celebrating the best of Southeast business, all brought to life in a cutting-edge virtual environment. As an FSB member, you can claim 50% off your exhibitor fee. If exhibiting isn't your thing, there are still plenty of ways to take part. Delegate registration is free, and you'll be able to attend the full program of events. To register as an exhibitor and enter the code FSB to claim your exclusive discount. To register as a delegate, you go to exse.co.uk/attend. To register as an exhibitor, just go to the website www.exse.co.uk. So that's the East by Southeast 2021 three-day virtual seminar, 11th to the 13th of May. The FSB also, in partnership with Barclays, are offering Barclays Digital Wings. Barclays Digital Wings is an online learning tool designed to help you. It helps you become more tech savvy and keep up to date on recent digital trends. If you're a business owner, you may wish to use Digital Wings as a learning and development tool for your employees. By inputting a company code, you can help to provide your company with certain specific details regarding the users from your company. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, there's a link there to this where you can find out more and register to obtain your company code. This Thursday, the 6th of May, listing your business on Google Maps provides you with a quick and simple way of attracting and engaging customers locally. The FSB is pleased to be partnering with Google Digital Garage to provide a free live webinar training session. The Google Digital Garage provides free online and live webinar digital skills training to individuals and businesses in the UK to help people find a job, grow their skills, improve their careers or businesses from home. Join us to discover how you can use Google Maps to market your business online, reach customers and drive footfall to your business. In this session, you'll learn how to create a Google Maps listing for your business and how you can verify it, top tips for optimizing your listing, ways you can engage customers further with Google My Business features. Good to know this session is run using YouTube and is 60 minutes long. The course assumes no prior knowledge or experience, so there's no pre-reading necessary. There will be an opportunity to ask questions during the session. If you want to find out more, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, it is all listed there. I'm going to give you a number of events that are taking place, and then I'll give you the booking link at the end. There's Maidstone Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 26th of May, 4 to 5pm. This is hosted by Peter Searle, and it's free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. This is a Maidstone event, and it's a relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome, and the guest speaker at this event is Stephanie Unthank, who's the Director of Infinity Wellness. There's Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking on Thursday the 27th of May, 9:30am to 10:30am. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. This event is hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of the Holistic Home. You can join a webinar on how to prepare to bid for public sector contracts on Wednesday the 2nd of June, 11am to 12 noon. This masterclass will focus on showcasing how to find opportunities that are small business friendly within the public sector. As I said, I'll give you all the booking details in a moment. Kent Membership Matters on Wednesday the 12th of May, 11am to 12pm. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can when you need it most. And there's how to find and win more tenders in general, which is taking place. No, that's already taken place. So it was today, sorry. All of those events can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB or bizradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab, and you can find them all there under the events page with their various booking links and further details. And that's the FSB news for another week.
Very well. You can have a little drink now.
Can I?
We've had a tweet about the business diaries, and they say that Adele shares how a routine flight to Edinburgh was the final straw and the misdiagnosis of her early menopause, as anxiety prompted her to take matters into her own hands. You can find those podcasts by going onto the Biz Diaries. That's the Twitter handle. And they bring storytellers together to share their business-related tales. And that's the Biz Diaries on Twitter.
Fantastic. I've had another tweet from Martin Reeves at buddy_museum. He says, I hope you're having a good show, as both today's guests sound very interesting. Your Twitter feeds, I see, have lit up with biscuits. I can't listen live, unfortunately, as I'm out and about, but I'm going to listen on catch up. Yeah, you're going to miss the biscuits, though, Martin.
Well, there is a second layer.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I've discovered. I haven't started it yet, but I have eaten all the chocolate ones.
I've got a tweet. I don't. Did you just read this from IFF Kitchen?
No, I haven't read it yet. You can read
it. Loving the show, Vanilla Webb. We're in our IFF Kitchen in Kent, cooking up smashing healthy meals for our lovely customers. P.S. We enjoyed the tech issues at the start of Business Bunker. Oh, the perks of live radio. Absolutely. I'll tell you what.
Did you have your breakfast?
I had my breakfast. I get my lunch from IFF.
But you can't wait.
But no, on a Tuesday, I'm not there to eat lunch, yeah. And it would be a shame to waste it. So yeah. I have my Tuesday lunch for breakfast.
I don't understand why you don't bring it with you. It is quite portable. And yeah, have it here.
Yeah, but I like it warmed up.
I could share it.
Yeah, I like it warmed up, and there's nowhere to warm it up.
So what did you have?
I'm going to tell you. So at 9:30 this morning, I had spicy minced beef with beluga and yogurt.
Wow.
And it was absolutely wonderful.
What's beluga? I thought it was a whale.
Yeah, no. bulgar.
Oh, right. Bulgar. I thought you had a whale.
Bulgar. I was trying to pretend it was caviar, but it wasn't. It was bulgar. It was rice, isn't it?
Yeah. Bulgar wheat, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not really a wheat.
It was absolutely delicious. I've been doing it 3 weeks now, so I've had 15 meals. Every single one of them has been superb. Really, really enjoying it. Lovely. Mm. But it is a bit odd having it for breakfast.
It is.
What I need to do...
You're like
what I need to do,
an Asian person.
Yeah. No, what I need to do... Because they do breakfasts.
Yeah.
So what I need to do is get them to deliver me four lunches and one breakfast.
Yeah, they do very nice breakfasts. Did you get any of the protein balls for Amanda?
No. I haven't done any of that because I'm on a very strict diet.
And you'd eat them.
And
I mean,
eat
I can eat seven of those protein balls, no trouble. Yeah. That's the trouble. I mean, one is all right, but seven is not all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd rather eat them than my biscuits, really. I have a weakness for biscuits. we've had some, I was just looking at some of these farming ones. We've had loads of farming ones coming in, polytunnels. That's Jack Scott Kent on the Twitter. So he is growing small-scale fruit and vegetables with organic methods in East Kent. And, of course, he's battling with the weather at the moment because it is blooming cold.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got... Have you got any more emails, Lev?
Yes, I have. So there's an
award.
Well,
you can do one.
There's an awards to celebrate hard work, success, and our great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, enter free Maidstone, Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards 2021. And the website for that is www.businessawardskent.co.uk. Also, what happens in Digital Leaders Week? Are you a leader in the UK's digital marketplace for ideas, initiatives and services? Is your organisation or place? If the answer is yes, then there's a chance to demonstrate that. So the 2021 Digital Leaders Week is now opening its doors for partners and speakers. As we unlock the UK's economy, this is the biggest gathering of people focused on three key questions the organisations face during this accelerated period of digital transformation. They want to know what works, how to, and where can we get advice so you can get involved. Those who are driving forward digital transformation in the UK will be sharing the very best practice and showcasing their services and offering solutions that are practical and real. And the date for this is the 14th to the 18th of June, so that's next month. And please go to digileaders.com/week. for that.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Mid Kent Mine. What a great show today. Make sure if you didn't hear it that you check it out on Catch Up. Yeah, thank you. That's from Mid Kent Mind, the charity, the mental health charity.
Yeah, hello
based in
to
Mid
you.
Kent. Yeah.
There's a 2-day online adult mental health first aid course, and let's have a look when it is. The online dates and times, which are via Zoom, are on Thursday the 24th of June and Friday the 25th of June, 9:30 to 5 p.m. on both those days. Completing the 2-day course qualifies the learner as an adult mentor, mental health first aider. So there's a mandatory online orientation session, which is via Zoom, which is on Monday the 17th of May, 1 to 2. So it'll raise awareness and mental health literacy. It'll reduce stigma around mental ill health. It boosts your knowledge and confidence in dealing with mental health issues. It also promotes early intervention, which enables recovery. If you want to find out more, there is a phone number, and I'm going to read that out if you want to get your pen poised. And there is an email, which is info@this-way-up-well-being. Why do people do that? .co.uk. And the phone number is 07 860 624 880, and that is we'll put details of that on the Kent Business Bunker radio after the show.
Yep, we had a tweet from lovely Rosemary Williams. She's a Kent-based business coach and mentor working with owners, directors and executives to enhance thinking in order to move their business forward. So a big shout out to Rosemary. Follow her on the Twitter. RWC Kent is her Twitter handle. RWC Kent is her Twitter handle.
And the AK Pet Services,
Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian is driving around today and he says, good afternoon, everyone. We've missed the show today. We have parrots in the van and lots of
Samson
animals. Yeah.
Are they taking Samson?
But he says, I will listen to the catch-up later on.
Cool. Yeah, you see, he probably didn't want the show on with a parrot in the van, did he? Because a parrot would pick up some of your mannerisms and words.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. He might say biscuits.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you might not see that because I don't think he's put a gap. You know, you have to put a little space, don't you?
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
A lot of people forget that, but it's on my timeline because I'm second on that.
Well, I'll give it a retweet in a minute. Kent County Council and Kent Invicta Chamber along with their counterparts in Essex, Medway and East Sussex, has secured funding from the South East Local Enterprise Partnership for a new project called SEED, South East Export Development. The project will consist of a series of virtual export readiness sessions and virtual trade missions and free activities to help companies to access new international markets. The project will focus on the following sectors and markets: agri-food, doing business in the US, Ireland and Hong Kong; life sciences, doing business in the Middle East and Southeast Asia; and digital and creative businesses, doing business in the US and Canada. We're currently accepting expressions of interest from businesses interested in receiving free support from the project. If you go to www.kentinternationalbusiness.co.uk/seed, you can find out all about it. That's kentinternationalbusiness.co.uk/seed.
And there's a Construction Live, which is coming up on Thursday, the 6th of May, which is this week, 12:30 to 2 p.m. It's a new event programme which is designed to provide attendees from the architect, engineer and construction industry, that's called the AEC when it's reduced, with relevant and practical content presented in an interesting and interactive format. Many online events put in place in response to the restrictions are limited in their appeal and uninteresting in the way they're presented. Presenters are remote and the ability for attendees to engage with them is limited to third-party Q&As. So they say that our approach is quite different and proven to be more informative and closer to the live experience we all miss. Construction Live, they say, will emulate a TV magazine format that combines entertaining presentation with conversation and ultimately direct engagement with the audience. So content presenters will initially join a brief conversation with the hosts on the subject before giving their presentation, and there'll be a brief 10 to 15 minutes depending on number of presentations, after which, instead of reassembling with the host asking questions submitted via the function buttons, each presenter will host a breakout room. So they're really sort of trying to innovate here, which is great. 3ws.constructionexpouk.co.uk and put a little slash there and Construction Live.
Adrian's been back on.
Oh, yeah.
He says, Jules.
Yeah.
Samson said he would love a glass of wine. Samson being the parrot.
I think that might be cruelty to animals.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah. What do parrots drink? Just water.
Wine, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think they drink?
Water.
What are the options for
maybe
a parrot?
Maybe a bit of sap from a.
What are the options for a parrot in the Amazon?
Sap.
Water or sap.
Yeah.
Salad makers Bacaval are creating 150 new jobs at their Tilmanston site. These are all permanent roles across day, evening, and night shifts. The posts are seen as a boost for the local economy at a time when the fallout from COVID has resulted in the highest level of UK unemployment for 5 years. This is part of the growth plans for the Tilmanston site, which have been developed in partnership with the company's supermarket customers and a growing national trend in online food shopping. The Tilmanston site specialises in making of bagged and bowl salads.
We all love. We're getting ready for the salad season, aren't we?
I'm already into my salads. Yeah. I like a salad.
I do. You know, I make a really nice sort of just tuna and red onion salad, and
yep.
I just pile it all, and I put a couple of boiled eggs in. And
yeah, do you put mayo on it?
I have an avocado mayo. It's made with avocado oil, not with normal rapeseed oil. It's very posh.
It's not salad cream then.
No. I do quite like salad cream, though.
I prefer salad cream to mayonnaise,
yeah, retro,
if I'm really honest.
But I do like a salad with everything in, and I love a beetroot. Do you like beetroot?
I do
like beetroot. I love radishes, but they're very fiddly, but they are really lovely when you slice them.
At the moment, on my kitchen worktop, I have a little ramekin full of diced radish.
Yeah, I love radish.
And a ramekin full of snow peas. Or snap peas, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So you just eat them whole.
And I just eat them whole.
Nice.
And they're my snacking food. When I walk past, I just pick up a radish or a pea.
My mum taught me how to make radishes into a little flower.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did your mum do that?
Yeah, I've never done it since.
Oh, I have, yeah.
Anyway, we've reached the end of the show.
Have we?
Yeah, thank goodness for that. we had two fantastic guests, and it was a pleasure to hear from them. James Griffiths and Joshua Fletcher.
Very
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you to the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin for holding it all together for us. We'll be back with a better show next week in terms of the technology, I'm sure.
We hope.
Have a fantastic week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Bye-bye. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.